I'm Travis.
I'm Nate.
And I'm Emily, and you're listening to the Cast and Blast Florida podcast. We are serious outdoorsmen who don't take themselves too seriously. This week on episode 78, we take a detour from our normal lighthearted banter to take a run at a listener's question about the border wall and how it affects wildlife. Plus, Travis rebuts Field of Dreams as a sports movie, and we record our first episode in a storm while sitting outside.
What's new, Nate?
You need to do that again because you were right on it. That was real quick.
What's new, Nate? What's new, Nate? I'm leaving all of that in there, by the way.
All right. Well, it's springtime, and I've been doing yard work for the last two weekends. So that's what's new. Literally, I dug basically a hole the size of a grave yesterday to plant a tree. Like, literally, it was like 5 foot wide and 2 feet deep.
What the heck kind of trees are you planting, dude? Oak trees?
Apparently, like
100-year-old live oaks?
It's called Eastern Red Bud, and it's really pretty.
I'm familiar with
them. Red flowers and stuff. Yeah, they're really, really pretty. And apparently, the pot was like 15 gallons, so it wasn't huge. But it has to be like, the hole has to be three times wider than the pot for you to plant this thing correctly.
Says who?
Says the internet. I don't know. So we're trying to follow the correct, you know, guidelines or whatever.
You got punked.
No, I feel you. It's difficult to maintain plant health.
And this is Georgia, right? So we have hard ground Georgia clay that you have to pickaxe before you actually dig it.
Oof.
Do you have shirt rocks?
I want to move back so I can just dig in some soft ground.
Yeah.
Sounds like you're domesticated as hell at this point.
Well, maybe.
Kaylee's here.
Oh, hey, guys.
For anyone that was wondering, Kaylee's here. Nate's sister, Kaylee Henderson.
What's new with you, Trav?
Oh, I'm supposed to go second, according to the law.
The one time he gets it right. The one time. Y'all change it up.
Yeah, what's new with you?
Oh, my goodness. Okay, listeners. Let me just set the scene. It's been a day. Three of the four of us are drinking.
A lot.
And three of the four of us are on the back porch instead of recording in studio as typically done. So, I just need you to know that. What's new with
me is...
Is
that what's new? Because this is off to a terrible start.
We have a new review. So far. Listen, lawyer of the show, ATD-Esquire. We're assuming
official lawyer of the show.
Yeah.
All right.
Although we have a number of lawyer listeners, he's the official lawyer at this point.
Well, I don't know because this is a backhanded review. Are y'all ready for this? Here we go. Since its inception, I have listened to this podcast beg for 5-star reviews, much like that homeless man you passed by begging for spare change downtown. In fact, on quite a few occasions, my willpower was almost broken, and I was ever so close to enabling this weekly solicitation and giving them their coveted 5-star review. However, today I listened to the first annual inaugural sports movie draft Cast and Blast Florida for The Cure, and I realized a 5-star review is undeserved, or undeserved, as an Esquire might say. How could none of you even mention Field of Dreams? Emily, I'll give you a pass since you were probably Googling sports snacks. But Travis and Nate, come on, have you no shame? You claim to love baseball, and I'm assuming you love your respective dads. If Kevin Costner playing catch with his dad doesn't bring a tear to your eye and make you remember the beauty and simplicity of baseball, you need to get right with Jesus. If you want that 5th star, just remember, help me help you. Jerry Maguire.
Can I do this, Nate? Can I please?
Okay. Go for it.
The baseball draft has undoubtedly, for an outdoors podcast, been our most successful segment, which should tell you something about our qualifications as outdoorsmen.
Yeah, the sports movie.
And
yeah.
Our listeners.
Yeah, the sports movie draft really resonated with some people, and Field of Dreams was repeatedly mentioned as the biggest omission. Also mentioned was Miracle, but that's a hockey movie, and we don't really care. So, but although Nate picked Mighty Ducks... So we did pick a hockey movie.
That's a classic, though.
Yeah.
I don't know what Miracle is.
Me neither.
Yeah, exactly. No one does unless you're like in Minnesota or Canada or somewhere.
What are you wearing around your neck?
That's my headphones.
Oh,
they were pulling
God.
On my neck because you got me out here in the wilderness recording a podcast. So here's the thing. I'm going to say this once, and forgive me if you're here for outdoors talk, but we need to address this once and for all. The problems with Field of Dreams, okay? Everyone's familiar with the movie. Everyone's seen the movie, except probably Emily, who's seen three movies ever.
I have not.
If you build it, they will come.
Yes. The premise is Kevin Costner, as, what is he, Ray Kinsella, is supposed to plow his corn under and build a baseball field. Anyone know how big a baseball field is?
Large.
Guess on acreage on an average baseball field.
5 acres.
Three acres.
2.5 to 3 acres.
Oh, son of a... That's it?
So... the whole premise of the movie is based around the fact he's going to lose his farm because he's plowed under 3 acres of corn. And he's got this farm that's probably 700 acres of corn, and he only plows 3 acres to build a baseball field, and now he's going to go under. Like, this is the make or breaker point. Why didn't he plow the rest of the corn? First off, that's the first problem. Second problem is, you asked for it, I'm answering it. A sack fly in baseball doesn't count as an at-bat. The whole Archie Graham storyline in the story is about Archie Graham wanting to get an at-bat. He doesn't get one because he flew out and someone tagged up and scored. Get out of here with this Field of Dreams crap. Yeah, finally, no, the whole Amy Madigan, am I saying that right? Amy Madigan, Kevin Costner should be a film, like that should be a teenage abstinence film. They should show that in sixth grade to students because ain't nobody doing nothing after they watch that relationship. Because Amy Madigan, she's the worst.
All right.
She's not cute, but...
No, wow. No, she's annoying as all get out. Like, she stands up in the PTA meeting and she yells at people. There's just too much Amy Madigan in the whole movie. So there you go. This is why we're out on Field
of Dreams. Someone might say you're Amy Madigan of the podcast.
They might say that.
My gosh.
But you can't knock me on my 5-star review over leaving out Field of Dreams, giving those things.
Right, exactly. And I have the same issues with the movie. Because there are a lot of like plot holes and things that like don't make sense in that movie.
Huge.
A lot of things that don't make sense in that movie. And I just wasn't all that impressed. I'm going to be honest with you. I've seen the movie, but I don't know. It's not my favorite.
Archie Graham out there comes from outside the foul lines, but then he goes inside the foul lines and then he can't leave the foul lines. He has to go into the cornfield. Is he dead now? I don't know. Was he dead when he was in Minnesota? I don't know.
Cornfield's hot lava.
How come Terrence Mann can go into the cornfield to write a book? And that should be a bestseller. He's writing a book about the cornfield, but why can't Ray go into the cornfield? A lot of problems with Field of Dreams, guys. A lot of problems with it. When you watch it, it's like it just doesn't hold up as good. Yes, Emily.
Can someone take a note about Googling sports snacks? Should we do a whole episode on sports snacks?
No, we're not doing an episode on peanuts and Cracker Jacks. That's a different show. I just did as much as I ever want to do on a movie.
All right, stay tuned for the sports snacks episode coming between this one and episode 100.
That, for whatever reason, that draft resonated big time. I couldn't keep up with my texts and my emails and it was bad. It was unbelievable.
Oh my God, one listener sent me this link to the Space Jam soundtrack on Amazon.
Yeah.
Boom!
That was big time. Thanks, whoever you were.
Yeah, and now that has been, it's friend of the show, Ryan Briggs.
Oh, chiropractor of the show, Ryan Briggs.
Official chiropractor of the show. We have
that was a 4-star review, just by the way.
Yeah, so here's
my thing.
It was
not 5 stars.
Like, you legitimately put 4 stars.
Yeah, it's 4 stars. So here's my thing. You can either rebut those things and fix your 4-star review to a 5-star review, or it needs to be a 1. Like, I feel like the review should be binary here.
1 or 5.
Edited.
Yeah.
Wow.
Edit the review.
I'm calling out the Esquire, the official lawyer of the podcast, and putting him on the spot here.
Also, I would like to say, I think it's a reach to call it solicitation.
Oh, I don't. We offered to give them bumper stickers if they left reviews. That's exactly what it was. We just invented the world's newest profession.
Strike
this
that from the record. Now what's new with you?
That was what was new with me. I was like geared up for that.
I had to tee up your what's new.
Yeah, that's why I needed you to go first.
That's why he's been so salty. He needed to get all that off his chest.
Oh my goodness.
I was salty about that. So we have, I guess about 6 episodes ago, we started an anonymous mailbag segment, which we ripped off from Clay Travis. Here's the way this works. If you have something you want us to weigh in on without people knowing who you are, send me an email. Send one of us an email. We will keep... Emily doesn't even know who this is from.
Nope.
She asked me straight up in the car, who sent that? And I would not tell her. So we have an anonymous mailbag submission that we are going to address. We're going to... So far, I would say we've gone 2 for 2. We've saved 2 marriages, or maybe one of them we saved a guy from making a terrible mistake and getting married. Whatever. We are basically the wisest people in the podcast specter.
Stop digging.
Of the outdoors world. You just looked at me funny.
I have anxiety just thinking about doing this right now.
Okay. Who's reading this? Kaylee, you want to read this for us?
Sure. You guys are doing a great job. One of my favorite listens every week. Here's my question that I'd like you to talk about, but I want to be anonymous in case my wife hears this. Not a good start, buddy.
Female listener.
We are having a debate about taxidermy. I just got my deer back from this season. Add in the ducks and turkey and prior bucks and fish. She said she's starting to feel a little squished, in quotes.
Her word.
She wants all the mounts to go in one room. I've probably got 30. I don't think this is reasonable. She says that she never complains about my hunts and doesn't mind the mounts, but that they're squishing her in all the other rooms. Not sure this is a marriage breaker, but figured you guys would want to weigh in on it. Who's right? Who's wrong? What's the solution?
Are we sure she's the right one?
Oh my God. 30 is a lot.
I feel like every one of Travis's, like, you know, fixes this problem is just like, either don't get married or get divorced. Like, just quit being married.
I mean, his track record speaks to that.
Oh, gosh.
Who's going first on this? Nate, are you going first on this? I feel like this is always a good place for you to get yourself in hot water.
Yeah, sure. I'll go. I don't have a problem with them going all in one room, honestly, because I plan on eventually having like a man room, man cave type place where all my stuff's going to go.
He's sizing up a room right now. You see his eyes?
Yeah, I saw him darting around the room he's recording in. He's like picturing
so,
all of it.
You know, I'm like looking at the wall space around. Let the wife have like the living room, kitchen, bedroom area. And then you have your own room where you can do whatever you want to. Put up all your stuff. Whatever you... I mean, that's kind of where I'm at with this.
Well... Let me explain something to you about money and rooms and houses and marriage.
This ought to be good.
There ain't enough rooms. Yeah. No. Yeah. And taxidermy. First of all, listener who submitted this, how old are you? Because to have 30 pieces of taxidermy at what I'm guessing is an average of $250 a piece, you have a small fortune.
Oh, I'm thinking it's more than that.
That's
for some
lot.
Of the deer heads and stuff.
That's a lot.
I was putting ducks on the spectrum.
Yeah, but I'm saying if you got a turkey or a deer head or a replica fish.
Like, are you, first of all, castandblastfl.com/shop if you want to buy a t-shirt, because it sounds like you have some coin laying around.
Yeah, put some of those in your closet, not your room.
Second of all, oh my God, 30 animals in a room is a zoo. And or like a shot from Silence of the Lambs where there were people skins hanging off the wall. Like, that's too much.
Is it though?
It is. We have... What do we have? 7 animal carcasses, so to speak, in our living room.
Right.
I blessed that going in there, but I don't want any more.
Wait, what?
Did you like...
Hold on. Like, can we all press pause
incense,
on this recording?
Like, burn some sage? Is that what you mean by blessed it? I'm very confused.
Wait a second. Hold on. This doesn't feel right. And we have an official taxidermist of the show. What do you mean? We're not going to... Like, Landon
no,
is
no.
probably turning this off right now.
I would put more in different rooms.
Oh,
but I would
not
relegate the mounts, let's call them mounts, to one room. Because that's just a lot of dead animals in one room.
30 is a lot
that's
in
a
one room.
That's a lot.
And I feel like, where do you have them all right now? I have a lot of questions. Where do you have them all right
Thank
now?
You.
Are they spread out around
Square
the house?
Square footage of your house.
Right. How big is your house? With this small fortune that you have, you could probably just add another room to your house and make it a taxidermy room.
Or
but 30 is a lot.
Some wives might say the garage is the taxidermy room.
Or the garbage.
Although you got to watch your... You got to watch your...
Humidity
in the garage.
I know. That's what I'm like. I'm trying to figure this out. So if you have children, even if you have a nicely sized house.
Let me tell you something.
You don't get a man room.
A
you get a nursery.
A guy with 30 mounts, he ain't got no kids.
Or he's a urologist or something.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's
this
true.
Is not a marriage breaker, by the way. Travis will tell you it probably is. This is not a marriage breaker.
Thank you, Kaylee.
As someone that's never been married, I'm an expert on all this stuff.
Obviously.
It's reasonable.
It's not a marriage breaker, but I think you should hear your wife out because 30 in one room is a lot, but also spread out. 30 still spread out over a normal size house is still a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, but here's the other thing. If you're not going to use them, what do you do with them? How do you store a mount that you're not hanging
well,
up?
That's, here's my question for Karen or whatever his wife's name is. We're going to call her
Brenda.
Karen. For Brenda. Brenda. Did Brenda know about this when she came into the marriage? Like, so we talk a lot about recruiting people into hunting at a later stage in life. So if this dude's 40 and started hunting and between the ages of 40 and 50, he had some disposable income, checked a bunch of animals off, got them mounted. I can see where Brenda's frustrated because this was the old bait and switch, you know? If 10 years into the marriage, she starts piling up deer antlers.
Yeah. So I need some, more information. Yeah.
I need a lot more information.
I feel like we don't have enough info to go on to answer this.
All right, listener, we need to know. We need a blueprint of your house. How long you've been married. More details on the mounts.
Like what animals do you have?
What state do you live in?
I think the animals is important.
Because if it's just like a lot of ducks, okay, those are smaller. But if you've got like 15 deer and like an elephant.
Beyond the square footage, we need the ceiling height.
Yeah.
Because if you got a big fireplace and you got that big wall, like you can put 6 deer head on either side of it. That's not that big a deal.
That's what I'm saying. We need a blueprint.
Look like a lodge.
This is a lot.
There's a compromise that can be had here.
Is your wife named Brenda or Karen?
It also does. I think that's a really good point, though. Like, did they exist and were they factored in whenever you got married? Because if she's like done the bait and switch, I'm just not into that, ladies. Like, you know what you're getting into when you marry a hunter. It is what it is.
It is what it is.
Yeah. We had this discussion when we got married, and I was like,
we did.
We can make our living room have animals in it, but I want it to be lodge meets also a home.
You've done it in a very tasteful way.
Thank
here,
you.
I will say, because I don't even notice the animals when I walk in. I feel like if I walk in a house where there's 30 freaking mounts, I'm going to notice the animals.
It's hard to like blend that in.
Yeah.
30 mounts is a zoo. So
unless you're mounting like mosquitoes or something, and then you could probably just pile them all together.
We should offer different versions of these answers. And then sell them back to the person that submits it. Let them choose whichever one they want, and then we'll put it out there.
We could do it for reviews.
But before you send in one of these questions, I think what we've established is the first thing you should ask yourself is she the right one?
Oh my god.
Or is he the right one if we get a submission from a female listener?
Please.
When I listen to this, I'm just not sure how you've been married not once, but twice.
For a long time.
Like, yeah, I don't understand. A lot of years.
Yeah. You're probably not the only one. Okay. Most episodes, I listen to them, and I think, God, we're stupid. Like, I roll my eyes, and I just... But this episode, we got tagged by something by a friend of the show, Tim Connolly, on Facebook, and... He tagged us in. Can you help me describe this a little bit?
Yeah, it was kind of like a little featurette by one of NBC's kind of, not an affiliate, but like, I don't know, it was called Left something?
Left Field.
Left Field, yeah. And they do, I don't know what they do, but in this particular little vignette, they were featuring the border wall that President Trump has.
Everyone knows about the wall.
A bill for where they're having to build it. It's through some federal land that's preserved.
A wildlife refuge, a butterfly sanctuary. Tim tagged us in this post with the video, and this is what he wrote.
What's funny is if you care about wildlife and don't want to see the clearing of these lands for a border wall, then you're considered a crazy liberal elitist. But if you're gung-ho about this wall going up, then you're considered a deplorable Republican. It's no wonder why nothing gets done in this country, because it comes from all sides that you're an extremist or an elitist or whatever BS you want to call it if you actually care about something and have an opinion. I'm not a tree-hugging hippie, but I love and enjoy wildlife and want it to be around for kids I hopefully have one day and for future generations as a whole. But I also care about the safety of our own Americans. Let me guess, I'm now crazy because I actually have an opinion and care about two important topics that are unfortunately conflicting things, and I'm willing to admit there's a serious situation from both sides that needs to be thought about strategically and carefully. Making a decision for the ability to simply say, I got that wall built like I promised, or we stop the wall from being built, is not the answer. What is best for both our people and our wildlife? One might say if we aren't safe, then we can't enjoy the wildlife. But is 100% safety from illegal aliens worth it if we can't then enjoy the wildlife that is protected by these lands we are now destroying? Travis Thompson, this is potentially a topic for the show, as you very much like discussing topics like this. Doesn't need to be political, but curious as to your thoughts on how we work to protect our wildlife and our people. How do we so-called coexist to make our citizens safe without destroying the outdoors?
Nate, you want to go first?
yeah, sure. This is
tough.
I really like the way I like the way he phrased his little caption.
Me too.
There, because I'm in the same boat with him, right? I love wildlife. I love wild places. I love protecting those places, but I also think the border, there's something wrong down there. We got to fix something, right? I don't know what the answer is. I'm not gonna get into that.
Right.
But you know, I kind of feel both sides of this issue, and the way he described, like, if you want to stop the wall because of wildlife, you're some tree-hugging hippie. If you want the border wall, you're some crazy right-wing nut. That's the problem with what's going on in this country right now, period. We've been so polarized that you're either crazy one way or crazy the other way. There's no, like, middle ground. I want to try to hit this middle ground to where, like, look, I understand there's problems down there, but I also understand that if we don't try to protect and preserve some of these things, they won't be around forever.
Right.
Right. I'm a conservationist, environmentalist, / kind of pretty conservative guy, right? And so finding that fine line between keeping our country safe but also protecting the wildlife and wild places that we have is a very difficult thing. I don't really have an answer. I don't know. I mean, I'm not a big fan of the wall, but I'm also not a big fan of a bunch of illegal people coming over.
What about you, Em? Where are you at?
It's hard.
So I had to do a little bit of education on this when I read through it. So I just want to kind of like level set a little bit. So I actually didn't know this because I was graduating from college and like trying to be sober whenever this happened. But under President George W. Bush in 2006, he actually started building a wall. When he started building that wall, he set aside $50 million to mitigate for damages to the wildlife areas. And that included buying conservation land elsewhere to kind of try to level that scale of what they were taking. The claim in this link that Tim tagged us in is that it's not happening this time, that Trump hasn't set aside any money for that sort of thing. Some other claims, the walls being partially built in a floodplain and could prevent animals from seeking higher ground in the event of flooding. Lights in construction will disrupt the habitat. Monarch butterfly migrations will be impacted because they can't fly over 55-foot concrete walls. Like, after reading through all that and kind of processing it and thinking about the way that Tim phrased his question, it reminds me a lot, because I grew up in the Baptist church, of the way that abortion and gay marriage was sort of talked about. Every time it was election year, you know, if you were a Christian, you could not vote for a candidate who supported gay marriage or abortion. I've always struggled with that, and I think it's the same in this scenario. Like, you can't just be into conservation or for the wall. People are just not that simple. Everything has a gray area, and everything is more complex than that.
When he tagged me in this, I didn't even, like, my initial reaction was, I don't understand how you have this conversation without talking about politics. Because to me, and I think this is what you're saying, the whole idea is, I want to co-opt, if I'm in politics, I want to co-opt a cause as quickly as possible if I think I can recruit votes from it. In this particular issue, if I see border security as an issue, I want to grab that as my thing. And so there's this co-opting, and it can be done correctly, but it can also be done
strategic. Yeah.
Yeah. I go back to like what Emily said. I read this book a long time ago called Crazy for God, mm-hmm. and it was about the guy that created a video about abortion, mm-hmm. and they showed it to the Republican Party. This is like back in the early 80s. And the Republican Party said, please don't show this to the Democrats. We want it.
Yeah.
We want this to be our core issue. We'll go to bat with it. That's kind of where we're at right now. In Florida, you see DeSantis, you see Brian Mast, you see a lot of politicians. And I'm not saying good or bad. They see an environmental issue and they're jumping on it, Republican and Democrat, because I feel like they're trying to co-opt that issue for themselves so that they can make it a... That may be good. We may get stuff done, but it's also, I don't know where to go from there. When I watched the video that Tim tagged us in, I had so many questions about, just from seeing that one video, can a butterfly not really fly over a wall? Like,
right.
Like, stuff is
And one of the comments that they interviewed a bunch of people that actually live near where the wall is being constructed. So we'll link to that in the show notes so people can go watch it. But one of the comments was, we don't know if a butterfly could make it over the wall, because cement walls have a tendency to change wind patterns, and butterflies usually fly 1 to 2 feet above the ground from tree to tree or bush to bush. And we don't have time to do a study to see the impacts, because the administration has made Homeland Security priority number one. And so that kind of, not to excuse the pun, but it trumps everything else.
Right.
So,
but we don't know if any of that's true.
Exactly. We don't.
And that's where we're at today as a society, which I think is the whole problem with the whole discussion.
That's true. And fear is a powerful motivator.
Like, you just don't know enough. And frankly, money's driving everything at the end of the day.
Yes. I agree. I think fear is also in there, but money is the
money and power.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody wants money and power. So do you want in on this?
I just feel like we're just like in this crazy society where it's like you're either, like you said, extreme one way or extreme the other way. And mm-hmm. you can't ever have a gray area. And then you're either a crazy liberal or you're the worst Republican ever. And I don't know. I feel like there has to be some common ground. And it's just annoying sometimes.
To Tim's point, I think there's also a broader thing that we feel in the outdoors industry that's like the disconnect between hunters and rednecks. Or the disconnect between, I don't even know what the right word for that is, but it's like there's a tension you feel, right?
Mm-hmm. I find myself like at work or people that don't really know how I was raised or what my family does or, you know, what our extracurricular activities are, hesitating to say that we hunt and we fish.
Right.
Because it automatically puts me in a box of, oh, you're this person. Right. You are this conservative, you know, Trump. Bald eagle.
You got
American
a Confederate flag tattoo.
Yeah, like you hate everyone, but that's yeah. not me at all. And so I hesitate to even say things like that to people that don't know
right.
the full story. And then I don't feel like I need to justify why I choose to do those things.
You know what,
either.
Though? I think the media, I hate to be this guy, but the media creates these divisions between us. And I think there's more that unites us than divide us.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. And I think the media has driven this idea that hunters are these dumb backwoods living, beer drinking,
yep.
rolling down the dirt road, shooting out the window type people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that has really brought us back. I don't know any hunters like that.
No.
Like, I just don't know any hunters that actually go out and do anything like that.
And honestly, and so, you wouldn't associate with them if you did. Like, you wouldn't consider
absolutely.
Them hunters.
Absolutely. Exactly. And so I think when people look at, you know, what we do and the lifestyle that we live, they are harkened back to, you know, like an Elmer Fudd type of character where they're just stupid. They can't figure out which season is what and
yep.
they can't, you know.
Right. So consumed with killing, they have no common sense.
Right. Exactly. And I just think, you know, people are more complicated than that. I certainly am. And that's kind of what has driven me to, like, think about this wall issue with a sense of kind of just reservation. And, you know, one of my biggest reservations is the wildlife impact on, well, what does this do to the wildlife and wild places along the Rio Grande River? I mean, that's one of my biggest reservations. We still haven't figured that out. We don't know exactly. And so I wish there was more funding and more emphasis being put on the wildlife impact
yeah, but,
and the wild place impact.
But is it true, Nate? I mean, I think we're at this point in society where even us on this show sometimes, we feel like we're better informed than we could possibly be because there's so many things we can be kind of informed on. So on something like this, like
that's true.
There's so many people involved in the decisions around the wall, the decisions around the impacts, the decisions around, you would have to really, really spend a lot of time and make that your lane to get in. And Em and I, we were doing show prep. I was like, look, whether the wall should be up or not is not my lane. I don't know. That's not something I tend to lean conservative, but that's not something that I can speak well on because I'm not informed enough. And
right.
I'm not informed enough on the environmental impacts to speak well to that. What I can speak well to is the idea that we've got disconnects and we continue, like Emily just mentioned, we continue to let them create divisions among our factions. Those disconnects occur. We're literally sitting outside and a storm is about to kill us all. the disconnects are occurring in a way that people are pushing issues like that people don't really care about. Like most people are in the middle. We talked about this before on the show. I would guarantee you most of the people that are still listening to this are like, I don't really care about the wall and I don't really care about politics and I really don't care about, you know, they want to pay their bills. They want to be able to buy groceries. They want to make sure they got enough money to go duck hunting.
Well, I think that's the unfortunate part is that these extremists, whether you're left or right extremists, are the loudest voices.
Right.
So for us common people that are just middle class working Americans trying to take it just day by day, we get overshadowed because their voices are the loudest.
Yeah.
So it puts all of us in a bad light.
I totally agree.
We just don't have enough time or resources to do all the research to know the right answers. But it's funny because I was trying to think of like how this could resolve, right? So if President Trump, who's a Republican, and maybe you think he's crazy for doing the wall, if he gets 4 more years, there's a chance he could eventually appropriate funds to do conservation land to make up for what he took. Conversely, if a Democrat gets the office and they're considered more pro-wildlife, pro-nature, pro-whatever, they could also set aside the funds to mitigate for the take. So that kind of proves your point, right? It's not about Republicans or Democrats. It's about what we care about and what we love.
Nate, what is your, thank God we're done with that segment. What is your release?
So my release is an article that came out in the Washington Post. There's several things I'm releasing out of this article. First thing I'm releasing is these dudes who,
can you give us the headline of the article?
Yeah. So the headline of the article is, quote, "They will never be able to link it to us, unquote. Video captures father and son brutally kill a bear and bear cubs."
Oh, my gosh.
So, okay, a few things. I'm first of all releasing these dudes who illegally killed a bear and her cubs. First thing first. And then I'm releasing...
Is that first?
Article. That's first. That's first thing. Then I'm releasing the article title because it's just not... It's not good. Secondly, I'm releasing the article itself because they never once mention that they illegally killed these bears or that they are poachers or that they are anything. They didn't really mention the word hunter. They did talk about a hunting rifle.
Right.
But they never really mentioned that these were hunters, which was okay. And then the other thing I'm releasing about this article is they quoted Humane Society of the United States, which is always a bad idea.
Yes.
The final thing I'm releasing about this is the sentences that these guys got. They were criminally charged for killing these bears.
How many did they kill? Three?
Three bears, the mother and two cubs. Here's the thing. Andrew Renner was sentenced to 3 months in jail, ordered to forfeit his rifle, handguns, iPhone, skis, and truck used in the killing, and was hit with a $9,000 fine. His hunting license was also revoked for 10 years. Owen Renner, who's this guy's son, was sentenced to community service and required to take a hunter safety course, and his license has been suspended for 2 years. That is almost laughable.
Yeah, absolutely.
The sentencing that they got. Like, these guys should both be in jail for several years, in my opinion.
Yeah, and also...
Like, this isn't...
Yeah, go ahead.
This isn't like... They didn't, like, steal some candy from a candy store, right? They killed bears that were actually being photographed and being studied for a research project by the Alaska Fishing Game. I mean, and then they did it at the wrong place, and they did it the wrong animal. And, like, there's just a lot of things here that is just bad. It's just all bad. All of it's bad.
Beyond
the article,
that, why
the people,
are they tying the penalties to hunting stuff? Like,
right.
Like, I don't like that one bit.
How about animal cruelty and just keep it out of the hunting community?
Yeah, if somebody goes out and shoots a dog, they don't tie that and make them take a hunter safety class. Agreed.
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
They're not hunters is what I'm saying, and that needs to be a clear delineation.
They're criminals and poachers. Like, this is not a...
And maybe psychotic, because isn't that how creepy serial killers start out? They kill innocent animals.
Yeah, we for sure need to do a mental health evaluation on these two.
Yeah.
All right, that's a good release, Nate. You got one, Em?
I got one. Mine is not nearly as serious. So I tried some sunless tanner.
How'd it go? Oh my gosh, from one pale person to another.
Yeah, I'm the whitest whitey that ever whited. So, like, I'm just telling y'all, I have to, like, get some brown on me or I blind people.
It looked like she spilt sunshine on her knee.
It was awful. It was, like, highly recommended by a beauty blogger. So I bought it. It's the Banana Boat Sunless Tanning. Everyone save yourself your $6.25 and skip it. Okay.
That's why it didn't work, because it was $6.
I still have an orange toe. Okay. Like, a week later.
Your first problem is that you're listening to beauty bloggers.
Yeah.
Number one.
They're so beautiful and brown.
Baloney. Those are called filters.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
And genetics.
Anyway, lesson learned.
I'm going to do my release real quick. We're 8 games into the baseball season. The Cubs are a dumpster fire.
Yeah, they're looking terrible.
They're a dumpster
fire. They got swept by the Braves.
Like they could be conceivably 7 games out by the time this airs. Like, it's just their bullpen is awful. They can't throw a strike. They've walked an unbelievable amount of people. They've got the top offense in baseball, and they've gone 2-8 or something.
Oh my God, we better hurry this up.
Anyway, I'm releasing the Cubs. I hate Joe Madden anyway. I've never been a Joe Madden guy. It's just they're just a dumpster fire.
I love Joe Madden.
No,
so sweet.
Out on Joe Madden. Kaylee.
My release is Blake Shelton's new song called God's Country.
Terrible.
I did an Instagram poll. You can follow me at KGH2011 for these fun little polls that I do. But
she's single.
I am single. Thank you. But they sound like, he sounds like Nickelback in this certain song. I'm not a huge Blake Shelton fan as it is, but I heard the song on the radio and I was like, oh my gosh, Nickelback's making a comeback. What is happening? It wasn't.
Dislike the song?
Yes.
God's Country, is that what it's called?
I couldn't even get through the song. Because
Chad Kroeger, right? Chad Kroeger is the guy's name?
From Nickelback?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I only heard a portion of it and I was like, my ears are bleeding. I can't do this. And I changed the station.
Do you feel, okay, if on one hand we had you versus Nickelback and on the other hand we had me versus Kenny Chesney, who do you think has stronger feelings?
You, always.
No, it's okay. The country versus Nickelback. Nobody likes Nickelback.
Yeah,
everyone hates Nickelback.
Everyone.
We say that, but someone keeps buying their albums. Is Nickelback sneaky good?
No, but no.
They're
look
really
at this photograph.
Not.
No. Stop.
I mean, we all know all the words to all their songs.
Exactly.
Right. But no one likes them. But this song sounds like Nickelback. Don't listen to it, or go listen to it and let me know what you think. But no.
Is Blake Shelton the Nickelback of country music now?
No, Florida Georgia Line is.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Keeps. Nate?
I'm keeping the fact that I won the freaking March Madness bracket, baby.
You did?
Won it.
Damn it.
I won it.
I didn't
it's
even
over.
Know that.
Yeah.
Long over. Won it. I had won it for like 4 weeks.
We recorded this before the last game, and Nate cannot be beat.
Yeah.
I was about to say, it's not over yet. How did you win?
Nobody has any points left.
You guys, I got second place.
And Emily got second place.
Oh, my gosh.
Unbelievable.
This is big time.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. I can't believe it.
That's the third time I've looked at it the whole time.
I want to thank Gonzaga because I picked them to win it all, and they lost very early. I want to thank Murray State for beating Marquette. I appreciate that.
Are you going to go through all 64 games?
I would like
that
to not
pick?
Only thank God, but Jesus Christ himself.
I want to thank Michigan State for making it to the Final Four. That was a big, big push. Virginia as well. You know, I had some good, pretty solid, solid picks in this deal.
We're playing the walk-off music for your speech. Okay, my keep is if you're looking for something good to watch on Netflix, Nate Bargatze, The Tennessee Kid. It's a comedy special. It's clean. It's fun. It's not political. And there's some funny wildlife stories in there. Nate Bargatze. Go check it out.
Very funny. Like, I laughed out loud probably 7 times during it.
Go, Travis, go. It's raining.
What is your keep, Kaylee?
My keep is this. Avocado salsa with fresh tomatillos.
Yes.
From Sam's Club. I have eaten a little bit of it. They've already eaten most of it.
We've
eaten
a gallon.
But it's delicious. If you have Sam's Club, go get it.
My keep is, oh my God. I hope the audio comes out on this.
It sounds like a hurricane is coming through.
We are literally, this is the last episode ever.
We're under a tin
roof.
This
is it. My keep is the Florida Skiff Challenge. Did you see this, Nate? Are you been following this?
Yeah, it's pretty cool, man. I liked it a lot.
So if you haven't been following it, we'll put a link to it in the show notes. It's over. Team Yellowfin won. It's a big fundraiser that Captains for Clean Water does every year. It's a very cool event. Did you see where Hell's Bay sheared their jack plate? They tore their jack plate.
Yeah, they broke their jack plate, had to pull it
the,
off and melt the
motor. The rules said
that
only the four guys could touch it, and they changed the motor off. They took the motor off and put it back on, removed the jack plate in the water.
Are you proud to know that I follow this? Because one of my Instagram friends was posting all about it.
It's so freaking cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. And they raced from Pensacola to Jacksonville.
The only thing I didn't
state.
Like is they. How safe is it to run through that lightning storm? Like, they could have looked at the weather, I thought, and pushed it back a day. That seemed kind of dumb. But it's a very cool event. Raised a lot of money, I think. No? You shaking your head at me?
No, I'm... Gilly and I were having a conversation.
Travis wants to be in it next year, and I was like, over my dead effing body. Like, you're not doing that.
Here's what I said.
I didn't even know it was a thing until
I said we should
I
be in it, but we should do it with a mud motor.
Yes. Yes.
No. No.
Because the motor's so light, it's 2-stroke. Like, it's happening. That's officially happening. And the other thing I thought was cool was the new DEP secretary and the governor and the head of FWC were all at the launch. And I was like, hey, while they're there, could they maybe talk about water quality since that's the first time I've seen all of them in the same room ever.
Wow. Good
so
call.
Anyway, cool events, Florida Skiff Challenge.
We'll link it in the show notes.
We'll link it in the show notes.
Hey, guess what, guys?
What?
Stay woke. Thanks for listening to the Cast and Blast Florida podcast. For more information on the Florida Skiff Challenge, Blake Shelton's new song with Nickelback, or where to apply to become a reliever for the Chicago Cubs, make sure to check out our show notes at castandblastfl.com. Also, if you haven't told someone about the show, would you do us a favor and recruit a listener? Talk to you later.